we're in session. You see, during breaks, I don't know how to call everybody. It's kind of rude and uncouth. Go, hey, everybody, come on down. dinner is served. So that what's better? We can do a little bit of the Zen Roshi thing. Isn't it so me? Let's all have one hit until neighbors come over. The neighbors come and say, what's going on? Welcome. Okay, so. I didn't have enough sleep last night because I was up the whole night, and then I had to go jogging early this morning outside, up and down the hill. And there's a hill back here. It's called Bukit Utama. I just jog up and down. And I took my little sidekick with me. I jogged. He walked. But let me see. So I didn't get enough sleep. So after this, I want to go take a break. I want to go take a nap for 2 hours. Fell asleep 15 minutes, got up fresh and awake. I said, oh, there he goes again. No sleep. Sam, are you okay? Is your eyes naturally like that? You're on something. Oh. Yeah, I do too today. No joke. Something keeps happening here. So your eyes are not naturally like that. Nice shirt with a big pink flower. We like it. We got to be Buddhist, what? Just telling we like the pink flower. Could you see this shirt on Justin? The hair, this, something's happening. Joy's got to go back to New Zealand and find a new one. Oops. Some people go to New Zealand for the beach, for the beautiful people, for the sunshine, for the culture, for the landscape. Joy went there for a lover. She was hanging out at the beach, threw her seashell around, and someone picked it up, and there he is. Paris is like, really? You guys are a great group. What kind of Dharma group would put up with this? All this abuse from their guru. All types of abuse. And let me tell you, their guru gets abused too. Oh, see, my voice is cracking because I'm getting emotional. The guru gets abused too. So, as I said earlier, some of you could not make it earlier due to work, commitments, family, or whatever. And some of you have made the effort to make it now, and I'm very happy. It's better we can receive some Dharma than no Dharma. And the effort towards that is very good. It's good in breaking habituations. It's good in breaking time that could be used for something not as useful. That's very good. And some people have requested come to teachings, and I'm very happy about that. Very welcome. Very welcome. Okay. As I explained earlier, when I was in the United States and I lived with the great Mahasiddha, Geshe Tsuden Gelsen, for many years, and I explained about when we went to the International Buddhist Gathering and how among all the famous Buddhists and the elite masters and teachers that were there, Geshe-la, in front of everybody, didn't chant some intricate tantric rituals or liturgy or prayers, which he is a master of, but he chanted the simple Lama Tsongkhapa prayer, Guru Yoga Lama Tsongkhapa. And among so many and so many traditions and so many people who were there, and everybody had their special chanting and their special accompanying, if I may say so, music. And when it was Geshe-la's turn to chant, to represent the whole Tibetan tradition, because we were there with him to represent Tibetan tradition, I really thought Geshe-la would go into an extensive, you know, very beautiful chant, which Tibet has, but he didn't. He didn't even inflect his voice in any way. He just chants straight and very soft and very gentle with his eyes closed and his hands folded at his heart. And I sat behind him. And at first I was a little embarrassed. And as I thought deeper, I thought, it's profound. And I asked Geshe-la why he chose Lama Tsongkhapa out of everything when there are so much more complex practices. And he told me on the way back in the car that all 84,000 teachings of the Buddha is contained in the Guru Yoga Lama Tsongkhapa. What would be more profound to chant among such erudite masters and people and audience to bless those people? So he said, that's it. And he didn't make any more explanations. And I know that that wasn't a show of simplicity or he was in a rush, because he was not in a rush. He didn't have any other appointments. And that's what he have us do before every teaching, every Sunday, that he always wanted us not to miss. He doesn't like it when we miss Sunday teachings, because he says one day of the week we need to reward ourselves with something, which is the Dharma. So therefore, every Sunday, there would be umzes, just like we have in our center. And the Dharma students would switch around and take turns to be who's the umze, the lead chanter, to lead Lama Tsongkhapa's prayer. And it's exactly what we do in our center. And also our Kichara Media and Publications Group writers and liaison recently went to meet His Holiness Ganden Chidamchi. And His Holiness Ganden Chidamchi, also in his advice to us, was if we want to benefit others, we want to benefit ourselves. If we want to do Dharma practice, then do Lama Tsongkhapa's Guru Yoga. You may think, well, of course he'll say that because that's Ganden Chidamchi, but he could have said to do a more extensive prayer, more extensive Lama Tsongkhapa prayer, more extensive rituals, or go get Yamataka. Yamataka is very specific of the Gelugpa school of Buddhism. But he didn't. He said simply Lama Tsongkhapa. Guru Yoga, in fact, Guru Yoga. So listening to the advice of these great masters and growing up with this, I would recommend people to memorize one stanza every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, one. Then these 3 weeks pass, 4 weeks pass, 1, 2, 3 months pass, you have a prayer memorized, something holy that's in you that you can recite. So we should memorize the Guru Yoga of Lama Tsongkhapa, recite the Mixama very well. And if we can, upon waking in the morning, before we make phone calls, before we check SMS, before we look around, before we do anything, you know, before we do anything at all, we should definitely, before engaging our mind in anything, in any activity, before we even open our mouth for any activity, worldly activity, we should immediately recite the Guru Yoga Lama Tsongkhapa. That would be very profound. Why? It's simple, it's clean, it's pure, it's gentle, and it starts our day off perfectly. And if we can think about the meanings of Lama Tsongkhapa and its relevance, along with chanting it, how profound. People always look for very profound practices and profound initiations, profound works. Some of us are qualified for it. Most of us, including me, are not. So therefore, we still want something. So we have to get away from the psyche or the thinking that all or nothing. Let's have something. Not all or nothing. Not nothing or all. All or nothing. Something. Because something eventually collects into something big. So therefore, that's very, very important. Very, very important. So therefore, when we start off our day, Lama Tsongkhapa's chanting would be very beautiful for those who don't have a specific practice. Very beautiful. Even for our kids that we love so much. To wake up and teach them Lama Tsongkhapa's chanting and teach them to do Mixama. Start them off young. If we love our kids very much, providing for them materially is very good, but you can't take care of them for the rest of their lives. And your worry doesn't become less once they grow up and they leave you. Your worry doesn't become less. On the contrary, it becomes more. So if you start them off with the Dharma young and early, they will have something to guide and protect them after they have left the nest, after they have left your care and love, that they can take care of themselves. Think the little bit of Dharma that you have received, how much has guided your life. The little bit of Dharma that you have gotten, look how much it's helped your life. And you received it late, some of you. Imagine if these beings got the same benefit as you early on. Early on. Why? To convert them and say, hey, you're Buddhist? That's not the point. We can have a lot of label Sunday Buddhists. It doesn't help. But to actually teach them the principles of Buddhism, especially cause and effect, and to avoid emotional problems and difficulties that they can create for themselves, to reiterate that, and to be honest with them, and to teach them. When you give them Buddhist principles and prayer and chanting, when they get older, they will have something to guide them because their beautiful mother and their loving father may not always be around, physically around them. So how? Does our care stop once they leave us? Of course not. And a lot of parents in the past have come to me lamenting about their children, not listening, going the wrong way, or whatnot. Many times I've heard. And some of them I told the truth, some of them I dare not because they're not ready to hear it. They didn't start off their kids early on some kind of spiritual practice that would guide them in their life. So that's very, very important to start that off. And I know some people who have started their kids on spiritual practice early and they grow up to be good kids, cooperative, and they know how to guide themselves. They will make mistakes. They will. But it'll be much less. And when they make the mistakes, it'll be easier to bring them back onto the right path if you have some basis to talk. I'm your mother, you have to listen to me. How long will that last? How much hold will that have in the end? Sometimes it doesn't even have hold now, as young kids. So later how? Think. It's very, very important. Remember, religion makes us upright and good citizens. That's the purpose of religion. If we do it otherwise, of course, it's different. We could be very bad citizens, but the purpose is to make us upright, good citizens. So why don't we start with young kids? Buddhism teaches respect of elders and respect of parents, cause and effect as a basis of not harming others. Instead of using negative verbalities to other people, we can chant mantras and prayers. It has a very deep philosophy for us who want to look deeper. It's beneficial all around. Very, very beneficial. If we passed away, it would be more beneficial for our kids to offer a stick of incense to Tara for our welfare than to put a picture of us and offer fruits to us. Be much more beneficial for them and you. So therefore, start the kids early. And if we wish to start the kids early, kids are very intelligent. How do we know? Because we remember a lot of things when we were kids. A lot of things that we didn't know, our parents didn't know we knew, we knew. And some of the things we didn't know as kids when we grew up, we figured it out. We can put two and two together. So therefore, if we wish to have our kids start on spiritual practice, and we want them to be protected and cared for, not a mystical protection, oh, they took refuge in Tara, they're safe, and they don't have to do anything. No, not that type. A real protection, guided by principles and ethics such as cause and effect, the eight mind transformations, respect of elders, respect of the law. If we wish them to follow that, we have to start ourselves. So sometimes we may feel lazy, but you see, mothers and fathers are very kind. They do a lot of things that they don't want to do, but they do it for their kids. A lot of things. A lot of things they wouldn't do ordinarily, or they wouldn't bother doing except for their kids. What's one more step? If the parents practice Dharma, attend Dharma talks, and the parents themselves transform, the kids will see that. It will influence them. So when we talk to them, we should do this and this, it will have power. So that's another motivation for us to practice Dharma, for the love of another person. As I told you in the beginning of this talk earlier today, we do Dharma practice out of compassion. We can do it out of fear, we can do it out of compassion. Both is valid. Lamrim, fear, fear of the lower realms, fear of our life and sufferings, fear of future life's incarnations, fear of samsara in general is a valid cause for taking refuge or practicing the Dharma. Similarly, love, compassion is a very valid cause. Because in the tantras, it always says, for the sake of all mother sentient beings, I will engage in so-and-so and so practice, always in the beginning, after refuge. So therefore, engaging in tantric practice or engaging in practice out of great compassion is valid also. Very, very valid. So where else best to start than with our kids? So we should think in many ways. Many, many ways. We don't have kids for our parents. Some of our parents will never hear the word of Buddha or have heard it and don't understand it. And they create deeper holes for themselves. With respect to them, they may love us, but it doesn't mean they're enlightened beings. And some parents create deeper holes for themselves and they argue, they don't get along, they're full of anger, they're dissatisfied, they feel lonely, they can't express it, they're trapped by a cultural mores, and they can't do anything, they can't advance anymore. And their life wither away with old age in this kind of emotional depression, unhappiness, and it gets deeper. And we watch them, when we see them, and instead of lamenting and worrying and don't know what to do, if we engage in Dharma practice and dedicate to them, it has effect. The Chinese believe that if we sponsor something at the temple in someone's name, it has benefit for them. So it's the same logical reasoning. Same. So like that, sponsoring something in someone's memory is very nice. But even that memory won't last. Sponsoring something in someone's for someone's virtue and their future lives and their collection of merit and for them to be released from samsara will last. How long will it last? Until the culmination or the fruitioning of that wish that's been planted has much more value. Much more value. So therefore, it's very important for us to practice spiritual path well, sincerely, as best as we can, out of compassion for others. Out of compassion, beginning with the people who we are responsible for or have been responsible for us. Very, very important. If we practice Dharma, our relationship with our spouses, our lovers, our friends will become better. Definitely. For some of us, if we had met Dharma many years ago, we would have been very different today. Many things that have happened would not have happened today. If we had practiced Dharma many years ago, it would be different. If we practice Dharma now, then many years in the future, it will also be positively different for us. It is too late to start for what's happened in the past, but it isn't too late to start for what will happen for the future. Dharma practice has full benefit. No negative repercussion. Let me reiterate again, the Dharma that I'm sharing with all of you comes from a valid basis, is world-renowned, is accepted, is not something we need to check any further. So if we engage in it, definitely has benefits. So before we start our Dharma talk, I would like to do a simple chanting of Lama Tsongkhapa again for all of you, for all of us, to alleviate our negative dispositions temporarily and to open up positive dispositions. And to also bless everyone by the power of Lama Tsongkhapa, not by my power, by the power of Lama Tsongkhapa, if we tap into his energy, the energy of compassion, wisdom, and power. And we should think at this time that may Lama Tsongkhapa bless me, that the difficulties in my mind become easier to handle due to the understanding of Dharma and the application of its practices. From the heart of Ganden Heaven sits the Almighty Maitreya Buddha, the Buddha to come next, the fifth universal monarch. From his golden heart and his compassionate smile and his beautiful countenance, Maitreya, from his heart comes a yogurt cloud-like wisp, and it opens up into a seat. On top of that is a throne, a lotus, a sun, and a moon disk. On sits of that sits all-knowing king of Dharma Lama Tsongkhapa. On his left is his regent, or the master of great sutra. On his left is the master of tantra, Khidri Rinpoche. On his right, your left, is the master of sutra, Getsab Rinpoche. The three Dharma, the Dharma king and his two spiritual sons come forth, very bright and luminous and happy and golden in front of us. And they come out of compassion due to our requests. O Venerable Gurus, with white smiles of delight, seated on a lion throne, lotuses and moon in his face before me, I request you to remain for 100 aeons in order to spread the teachings and be the supreme field of merit for them, for my mind of faith. In order to subdue my arrogance, I make mental, physical, and verbal prostration to you. Your minds have the intellect that comprehends the full extent of all that can be known. Your speech, with its excellent explanation, becomes an ear ornament for those of good fortune. Your bodies are radiantly handsome with glory, renowned. I prostrate to you. To behold, hear, or recall is worthwhile. In order to destroy miserliness and attachment and stinginess, in order to get all the necessities that I may use toward my spiritual practice and benefit others. I make offerings of pleasing waters, flowers, fragrant incense, light, and scented water, an ocean of actual and visualized cloud-like offerings I present to you, O Supreme Field of Merit.
다기 드메 드네 사바이 룽아 이지 미게 주지다 개바 손바 순제 미종쇼 니네 개바 다보소소샤.
Since when negativities fall upon me, only I experience them. Even in a place that has an earthquake, if I have the karma to experience that, I will experience my house being destroyed, my family being killed, my body being damaged, sickness, and all difficulties, and even getting help. But if I don't really have the karma or the propensity to receive that, even if I'm in an earthquake hit area, I will not experience the devastation of the earthquake as much as my neighbor might. So like that, all actions only come back to me. All actions come back to me resembling the cause. So therefore, if the actions coming back to me, be they negative, resemble the cause, then therefore I must have done something that resembles the actions that I have experienced. So therefore, with a deep mind of regret and a deep mind of fear for all the things that I have done in this life and previous life, knowingly, unknowingly, with great fear, trembling, and a sincere mind of regret to reform, to change, and transform, I offer up to you, Lama Tsongkhapa, my confessions for every non-virtuous actions of body, speech, and mind I have accumulated from beginning of this time, and especially any transgressions of my three vows, I confess again and again with fervent regard from my heart.
宁美对的满德之不拉尊，拒绝攀爬得罪等于是，我不仅仅拉尊是巴拉，大家上巴上被依让。In
order to counter great jealousy, to see others in good positions or something good happen to them. Although my mouth may speak praises, but my heart feels jealousy, uncomfortable, and I do not feel well at all. In order to counter great jealousy, unsettled mind, then I rejoice in the actions of all human beings that are positive. I rejoice in the actions of the devas, and I rejoice in the actions of the bodhisattvas and buddhas with no sign of jealousy at all. Therefore, in your great actions, my Lord, from the depths of my heart, we rejoice, O protectors, Lama Tsongkhapa and two sons, in the great ways of your deeds, you who strove to learn and practice in this degenerate age. In this degenerate age, you made time useful and meaningful, and made life meaningful by abandoning all the eight worldly dharmas. I rejoice in your holy deeds.
Jesu Lama Dhamma Gendangi, Chukku Kala Kinsin Chundide, Chisa Zambi Duji Simala, Sanchi Chukki Chamda Antu So.
And only to understand about karma and its effects, and only to fear suffering, and only to experience suffering is not enough, but to seek a recourse, to seek a method, to seek an answer, to seek a way out is most important. And therefore, in order for a rain of Dharma to come forth, my Lord Lama Tsongkhapa, to create the propensity for me to receive Dharma, for me to receive the holy Dharma with no obstacles, from the inside, my mind, from the outside, environmental causes, from family and friends and all situations that I may not have any obstacles to receive the Dharma, in order to plant the seeds that I may not have obstacles to receive the Dharma, inner and outer obstacles, I request you for the Dharma. By requesting you for the Dharma, I create the propensity to receive the Dharma. O holy and venerable Lama, from the cloud of your compassion that forms in the skies of your Dharmakaya wisdom, that releases a rain of vast and profound Dharma, precisely in accordance with the needs of those to be trained. Please fulfill.
Jesu Lama Dhamma Chinangi, Chukku Kala Chintin Chintin, Chisa Dhamvi Tsuchi Samala, Sachi Chukki Chabda Abtu So. Dagi Jine Sabi Kenwanti, Chantan Chowa Kunla Kapanta,
and whatever good merits and good deeds I've done, if undedicated and left, it's like a candle in the wind, it can be snuffed out easily. Therefore, in order for my merits not to be gone, from the vast amount of effort that I've placed, and from the amount of work that I have placed, and the amount of effort that I've placed, and the monumental effort that I put in to break my habituations in order to do Dharma work, in order that I may collect merit, so that that merit does not get wasted and burned up by my anger, I dedicate it at this time. I dedicate whatever virtues I've collected for the benefit of the teachings and all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of the Venerable Losan Trapa Lama Tsongkhapa to shine forever. Lama Tsongkhapa's two sons melt into light and dissolve into the principal Lama Tsongkhapa. Lama Tsongkhapa's throne, which represents the four fearlessness and the four noble truths, dissolve into Lama Tsongkhapa. Lama Tsongkhapa's lotus and Lama Tsongkhapa's representing great compassion, and his sundis and moondis representing great bliss and wisdom dissolves into Lama Tsongkhapa. Lama Tsongkhapa himself dissolves into something small, the size of our thumb. Pendant Zawa Lama Rinpoche, Dangin Dinga, Pembin Tanjala, Karin Jemo, Gorin Sinsite, Kusun Doki, Wondru, Chodong Tumbo, Wondru, Tondu, so. Then Lama Tsongkhapa comes forth and comes on top of our head, very gently, facing the same direction as we. We make our final request that Lama Tsongkhapa's holy mind may meld with ours. Pendant Zawa Lama Rinpoche, Dangin Dinga, Pembin Tanjala, Karin Jemo, Gorin Sinsite, Lama Tsongkhapa's holy, golden-like body dissolves to our central channel and comes to our heart. A lotus opens, and Lama Tsongkhapa enters that lotus, and the petals close, sealing Lama Tsongkhapa in, which is symbolic with him becoming one with our mind. Then the cloud-like yogurt like string extends from the top of him through the lotus top, the petals, up our central channel, and it leaves the crown of our head, and it connects directly back to Lord Maitreya, which cannot be cut. So whatever we do, wherever we are during that day, we should keep awareness of this connection to Lord Maitreya and to never be separated from Lord Maitreya. Symbolically, it is never to be separated from compassion, and to remember compassion, to enact a practice to develop compassion, and outwardly to take rebirth in Tushita or Gaden. To be Lord Maitreya's foremost disciple, born from a lotus, to listen to his Dharma talk. Good. So we won't need to do anything further. I think that would be more than complete for all of us. Now, these talks are very important because for some of you who are just attended now, what I'm talking about will be made into a book, and Sharon and Susan will be going away for a few weeks, And while they're away, they're going to be transcribing everything that we have talked about these few days so that it can be brought back, typeset it, proofread, and also get a cover done and produced into books because we have already received a requisition order from MPH requesting for three of our titles. So hopefully we can get this one out and get the title out also. And this one is very good because no book of its kind has ever been written as far as I know or spoken about. So I don't find it's repetitive, but it's something that's necessary and something that's very applicable for all of us today. And what we're talking about is Dharma centers and the relationship and the need and why and the actions and the people involved. We're talking about that. And we have a few subjects that we've already mentioned, and I'll talk about it today. The teachings are scheduled from 2 to 6. 2:30, is it 2 to 6? 2 to 6, and then 9:30 to, I guess, around midnight or 1. And it's for today, it's for tomorrow, and if we don't complete tomorrow, Friday. And the reason for that is we would like to get all this out. And for those of you who can attend, please attend. It would be very nice to hear firsthand. It would be very beneficial because this will be practical information for all of us on a personal level and for our center and its growth. All right, and a lot of projects we want to engage in. So today, I started with talking about the relationship with centers and what we should do inside, and I gave a lot of subjects to talk about. And also, after we finish that, I will be talking about the relationship with a guru or a teacher. And I would like to modernize and update that and not make it so 2,000 years ago. Because times have changed. Guru devotion is different. So I'd like to talk about that, the relations with the guru, and what we do, how we talk, how we treat. It isn't just outer action. There's a lot of things involved here that I want to talk about. Example, in regards to people with teachers who come to our centers, they already have teachers who come to our centers. What actually connotates a teacher? How do you see someone as your teacher? And about Lama bashing, people who try to promote their gurus at the expense of other people's gurus. We're going to talk about those things, and some of those are a little sensitive, but they need to be talked about, they need to be openly said, so that it can be clear, so other Dharma centers that are around the world can also listen to it and maybe get some relief, because there are things that we all think about, but we dare not ask or talk for fear of offense. There's going to be things such as people who have gone against their gurus. Why? Have they really gone against it? How we can help them, or we cannot help them, what should we do? Volunteer staff and relationship. We're going to talk about qualities of a Dharma student. And I'm not going to talk about grandiose qualities. I'm going to talk about qualities that is accessible to all of us. And we're going to talk about protocols. We're going to talk about dealing with people who are different than our school or different religions. And when some of them are unnecessarily hostile, how do we deal with them? How do we talk with them? And also, students who criticize other students who criticize the Lama, etc. So we're going to talk about all of that, how to deal with it, how to talk about it in a very practical day-to-day method. Why? It's a hurdle that we need to overcome. It's a hurdle that all Dharma centers need to overcome, and this has been inspired by many, many years of me being involved with Dharma centers and seeing many things that I've kept quiet inside. I've not said anything out of respect, but I found a way to talk about things without incurring negative karma or breaking samaya or damaging anyone. My intention to talk about this is not to talk about sensitive objects and talk about political issues that we love politics. We love it, but I'm not here to talk about that. It will sound like that, but it is to use politics to clear politics. That's what I want to talk about. So we're going to start with that, and it's going to go into this book. Like I said, I don't know what is the title going to be exactly because it's quite broad, but we'll think of something. I mean, something like, why should I not bash up my guru and burn up the Dharma center? Something catching. Something that when you walk by, you have to read. You have to read. How to punish my guru and send him to hell. That's right. I mean, interesting titles like that would appeal to all of you. All right. It wouldn't appeal to Tibetans. It wouldn't appeal to those people. They'd be like, oh, cannot. But to all of us, to most of us here, would be very appealing. I'm telling you, if this book was out, oh yeah, and our books will be on the shelf when? First week of what? January, is it? Oh, not far away. We all know what to do. Once those get out on MPH, no one's allowed to buy any of our Dharma books in MPH from the outlets. If you do, it's bad karma. You're going to hell because Rinpoche said so. So the minute it comes out on MPH, Joe will let you all know you know what to do. By hook and crook, go over there, fight for her, scream for her, kick people, go to the salespeople and scream, this book is finished, I want one. And two or three of you should stage and act. You should grab the book and go to the counter and say, I found the first. Pretend you don't know each other. You know, fight, and just kick and fight and scream. And if one takes the book and runs out with it, you jump up and down, you scream at the manager, this is so unfair. I slept here the whole night. I mean, Michael Jackson does that, you know, for his concerts. He pays people to make noises and cry and faint. Yeah, I read that. So I thought, for the sake of the Dharma. So you guys know what to do. If I go to MPH and I see any of my books on the shelf, all of you will be punished. How will you be punished? Do you really want to know? Do you really, really want to know? Robert says, no, okay, I won't. Robert said, we've been punished enough. The punishment will be this. You'll be sent to Bangalore on an all-expense-paid trip to take a bus from Bangalore to Mungot, to Bangalore, to Mungot 10 times. And you never go to Ganden. And then when you get back to Bangalore, Lee Ho, with her coffee, tea, or meal, will be waiting for you there and tell you your flight's been canceled. That'd be wonderful. So unless you want to go on that bus trip, and you know the train was about 9-10 hours. Can you imagine the bus is about 15 hours? And trust me, dearie, the roads there are not like the roads here. Well, that stretch, most of it. Trust me, dearie, you won't have a good time. You'll come back here looking like Wai Ming. Yes, you'll have the Wai Ming look when you get back. And if you go more than 10 times, you'll come back looking like Millie. That's right. So you don't want to go there. All right? And if that doesn't work, then we'll get Robert drunk and we'll set him on you. You know how drunk elephants are? Yes. Be careful. Look at poor little Lee Ho sitting in the corner, scared to death. Actually, the opposite, but never mind. Lee Ho has a wonderful way of raising funds. Hey, Robert, I want to sponsor a statue. Can I? Robert's like, I guess so. She has a great fundraising technique. I tell you, very skillful. Can I? And Robert's going, well, I can't say no. Because he says no, she's going to turn around to make a yes anyway. So, all right, just say yes, la. I've heard her before, you know, in the distance. Can I? She always says to me, let me find out from Robert. I'm like, the same old trick doesn't work. Okay. So what's the last thing we talked about? The center's location should be something that is accessible to people. And talk about accessibility, it isn't just place. I mean, if you have this limited budget and you can't buy a center in Bangsa or Kenny Hills or, you know, or Bukit. Imagine if we had a center in Bukit Bintang, would that be great? Imagine a center right on Bukit Bintang. Where's your center? Bukit Bintang lah. Isn't that great? I would love it. See all of us catwalking to the center, catwalking back to the center, catwalking to the center, catwalking back. Can you see that? That's right. So accessibility to center, and I talked about the images in the center. The images in the center should be very important. Let me recap very fast. They should be of the best quality, the highest quality, and the statues should be as large as possible. They should be as large as possible because the center represents many people, many people's donations, many people's help, many people's love, many people's faith, many people's devotion, many people's merit gathering opportunity. So when the statues are very large in the center, it's very inspiring. It fits a lot of people, and people will sit in the back and see it. You don't want them in the back, oh, where's Buddha with a telescope? It'd be very nice to see it's large. And plus, more importantly, just a visual feast of a beautiful image is that we can put a lot of mantras inside. We can put a lot of holy images, Lala Lama Tsongkhapa images inside, thousands and thousands and thousands, so that anyone off the street or any one of us goes in front, makes an offering of incense or prostration to Lama Tsongkhapa, and it's big. If there's 10,000 images inside, pictures, it is equivalent to making offerings to 10,000 Lama Tsongkhapas. Talk about your money's worth. One incense collects the merit of 10,000 Tsongkhapa offerings. Whereas if you keep a teeny little statue, and inside you can just put one little pearl, so when you make offerings, there's one little Tsongkhapa. So one incense, money's worth 10,000 or one. So the bigger the statue, the better. And people should keep big statues in their houses. Their statues should grow. As they invite statues to their house the first time, they're not sure it's like that, it should grow. Your kids grow. Your cars grow. Your midriffs grow. Your love handles grow. Everything grows. Your statues have to grow too. Everything in your house, everything grows except your statue. How? Something wrong. So your statue should get bigger too. What do you do with the older ones? You can give it away to people who are starting new, who are afraid. When you tell them buy a big statue, they go, tell them buy a MERS. Okay. So you can give them away. It's no problem. Lama Tsongkhapa is not. So your statue should be big and beautiful as you can afford. Don't go home and tell everybody, oh, we have to have a big statue because Rinpoche says so. Use logic. Be practical. Check your finances. Patiently. So it'd be good. And if other people are making statues, be happy. Contribute and help. And also in the center of the statue, be as big as possible. Everybody should contribute as much as possible to make it very beautiful. Because why? They're an object of us collecting merit. And everybody goes to a temple or a center or a church, whatever. What do they associate with? They go in there. It's not to look at a bunch of chairs or meditation cushions. Of course, they're going to look for an object of veneration. Very important. That's why for us to have a retreat center, to have a place where we can build a large Lama Tsongkhapa, very important, where we can put thousands and thousands and thousands of images inside, even on microfiche, so it's very small. Maybe on a chip, maybe on a CD disc, many. We can. I mean, they're modern, why not? So when people prostrate, imagine how many tens and thousands of Lama Tsongkhapas they're prostrating to. So what happens when they prostrate to one Lama Tsongkhapa or 10 or 20, 30,000? It's a spiritual acceleration. So maybe some people only come once. It'd be very helpful for them. So we should have compassion. Out of compassion, we have larger and beautiful images. And we have beautiful offerings. And the offerings we have in front of our images should be clean and spotless and made well. And we should know how to do the right technique of offering. When we offer from left to right, when we clean from right to left. How to purify, how to set it up. We should know that. Why? People will come to our Dharma center to look at that. Dharma is not based on that, but it starts somewhere. It starts somewhere. We can't say, well, I'm not interested in rituals, I'm interested in the philosophy, and then we don't care about that. Why? They go hand in hand. So therefore, we have to show beautiful offerings in our center as an example to people. So do we do it on a specific motivation of showing example to others? If it's out of compassion, okay. But it would be better if it's twofold, to collect merit for all the people, past, present, and future, who are helping the center and who need help from the center. And to show a beautiful example of the offering so that when people come, they know what to look at, they know somewhere to look at. If we go to Gandhin and they don't know how to make offerings, then where do we go next? New York subway to learn off a hobo? I mean, come on, think about it. So here, a lot of people cannot get to Gandhin yet. So they have to go to Kichara House. So when they go to Kichara House, they're not going there to have a beer. They're going there to learn something spiritual. So it wouldn't be nice if the offerings are done well and beautifully and clean. And the place should be clean because one of the six preparatory practices for meditation is cleanliness. One, we clean it with the objective of cleaning the objects as if it's our mind, the dirt as if it's negative karma, and to create awareness by wiping away with skillful means. Wipe it away, clean it. It should be clean, it should be beautiful. After, before it's sold, people should happily run there to help, happily stay behind to help. Why? It is Dharma practice. It is Dharma practice. And therefore, never see it as work. Never see it as work, because it's not work. Work is when you do things for just this life, and then when you die, it ends. Dharma is when you do things for future lives and for enlightenment, and it doesn't end. There's a difference between work and work. You think carefully. All right? So, our center should be a good representation. It should be a place of great merit, so therefore we should make it as beautiful as possible. And the images and what we have in there should be as wonderful as possible. That's why when people come to Kichara House, I often give away statues and tatas and books and stupas and gifts and malas and whatever. Why? It should be a place of creating merit. It should be a fountain in the middle of a desert. So when people come, Instead of always give, 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 give me, give me, give me, give me, we give. So that's why I tell people, sponsor books, sponsor tansa, sponsor statues. LiHo today sponsored 10, what's that, Path to Bliss? Essence of Bliss, our prayer books to be given away to people. Wow. So I have 10 Essence of Bliss to give away to the needy. Not to the cheapskate miserly, to the needy. And if you add, if when you get it, if you put an ang pao of 100 or more, I'll sign it. Just kidding. That trick doesn't work anymore. Robert got it. After a few seconds, Robert went, some of us are a little slow, but never mind, it's all right. It's been a long, long life. Okay. These days when Robert attends Dharma talks, he sits there like, the first time he, I mean, the earlier days when he attended, when we were in Kachara Paradise, no center, nothing, he'd be sitting there, but Rinpoche, I want to ask you something. I'm like, uh-oh, now what does he want? What does the Viking want now? He looked like a Norse god, he's going to hit me with a hammer. It's okay, I'm a Tibetan god with a sword. Come get me, my sword's bigger than your hammer. Yeah, so that time I was like, oh, well, what about this? Because I think one of the first talks he attended, if I can remember, not the first one, was on Guru Devotion. So he had a lot of questions about that. A little hard. Now, whatever I say, he's like, yeah, you're very skinny, Robert. Yeah, I am. Whatever. Well, Robert's smart, like the rest of you. You can think logically when you think about it, one step, next step, next step, next step, it becomes clear. That's all. It just becomes clear. It's explanation. So what happens is, so our center should be a place that's a haven for others, that we can give things to others. When people come to our center, they get beautiful books, they get tansas, they get statues, they walk out with malas, they're in shock. They're in total shock. Why? When we go to a traditional temple, you usually give. No Chinese thinks of going to a temple and getting. No Chinese. Nobody. Nobody goes to a church and thinks I'm going to get something. They think we should give. You ever see the church giving you a basket full of things to take home, you know, money? No, they pass the basket and they take the basket back. Same thing in a temple. The minute you walk in, what's at the door? Empty packets. Here, I help yourself. The first time I go, oh, thank you. Oh, I'm supposed to put something in. Well, our center is different. Our center gives things out. And I want to continue that tradition. Why? We need to practice the six paramitas with people and never be tired of giving, never. Never be tired of giving, never. Why? For each person that receives something and they have a happiness, it should be like the first time you experience giving something away to people. Give from compassion. And our center should have beautiful images and have beautiful offerings, so it sets a very basic, preliminary, fundamental example to people of how to make offerings, how to collect merit. Yeah, it's very, very nice. Very, very nice. And regarding location of the center, we make it accessible. If it's in a place that's not really accessible, we should make it accessible. Committee members, subcommittee members, and all these people involved, you should make it accessible by making sure that it's on the net very clearly. Flyers are passed out. It's advertised. People know where it is, to make sure the outlets know how to give directions, to make sure the outlet salespeople know where it is. It would behoove us, the outlet people and the committee members gathered together and took a day for the outlet people to bring them to the center. We don't have to ask them to pray. Say it's part of your job to know where the center is, so bring them to the center. Show them. Show them what's inside. Show them where it is, so that when they go back to their stores, they know where to tell people where it is. So we should think of things like that. That's what committees can do. Instead of thinking, oh, how do we raise $500,000? We should think of that. We should think of other things that we can accomplish immediately that gives us a sense of pride and joy and happiness and accomplishment. So we should do that. People, you should write that down now, that the committees should introduce where our center is and make it accessible by knowledge, that people know where it is. Always, they should know where it is. All right, that's about centers. Good example. Then the next one is number 5, the difference between a center and a retreat place. The purpose of a retreat place and the location should be a way and why. Center is somewhere in the city or somewhere in the middle of a busy life that's very accessible and very easy. A retreat is something that we can take time off. We can get away from some of the busy hassles or whatever commitments we have and to go away for a retreat. So a retreat center should be also accessible because you don't want to drive to the retreat center and then you need another retreat center to recover. You want to drive to a retreat center that's a little nearby. So the retreat center is someplace where you drive. Hopefully it's pleasant, it's green, it's got nature. I mean, you don't want your retreat center next to a dam, next to a bridge, or next to, you know, the MRT or LRT going back and forth to you. You go to your retreat center, and then on top of that, Malaysia has this problem that it might collapse on you, that it derail on top of your head. I mean, we have to be careful. Who wants a retreat center by the LRT? Can you imagine? Where's your retreat center? Kilimanjaro LRT? Yeah, where? That's where I get off. No, it's right there. La. What's the point? So we need a retreat center that's a little quiet. So in the city, all we see is walls. We don't see any green. We see three walls in Rinpoche. So when we go to a retreat center, we like to see some greens. You know, we like, look, an animal, an insect. Oh, look, an insect. Look, a dragonfly. I'm not talking about a cockroach. We have plenty of that here in our center. All right? We need more than a cockroach. All right, L, K, P, and K, H, all that got cockroach. Oh, look, there's nature. There's a cockroach. No, not that kind of nature. Thank you. Okay, we need something more than a cockroach. Oh, look, that's a bird. James asks, what's a bird? And Adrian tells him, a bird is something with feathers and it flies, and it's a retreat center. And then he still doesn't understand, so he asks Andy, and Andy gets out the encyclopedia on all birds. And 24 days later, James is a bird watcher now. You know, we need that. So that's important. We need a retreat center that's green. And if we're very lucky, we can plant a few flowers outside that grow. You know, we can contact Finhorn and ask them how to grow flowers. So we need to grow flowers and have something green. And we have a big prayer hall so we can make all the noise we want and not worry about the neighbors. We can have Dharma parties up there, you know. Oh, mani, pe, me, hong. I don't know, all kinds of parties. And nobody says anything. Only thing the birds can do is come on us if they're not happy. We need that. It's green, it's beautiful, and it's a huge Lama Tsongkhapa. We want a Lama Tsongkhapa that you have to really go far away to see his face. When we're nearby, we're like, I can't see. It's too far up. And it's spacious. Aren't you tired of being crowded in, standing up in a corner, sitting on the stairs like a bunch of prostitutes? Bilky looks like one of those red light district prostitutes sitting there like, pick me with a number. And then as you go down the stairs, you got Justin. Then you go to the right of that, you got Smenri. And then to the left, you got Big Prostitute Robber. Take your pick. 1, 2, 3, or 4. I mean, we need our center to have beautiful chairs so people can sit. Yeah. Poor Madame Lo, in the first session, she was wearing her skirt. So she didn't sit there. She was more worried about, you know, she's like, very hot. We need chairs for people. People need to sit on chairs and be comfortable. Can you imagine Chivon enter a meditation session and we take him to the hospital after that? We can't unlock his legs. We lift him like that. Cannot. And for some people like Koki, we need 2 chairs. Robert, there's someone bigger. You are, even your head's bigger. You look Attila the Hun. Okay. So a retreat center is somewhere a little bit far where it's not easy for us to run down to a 7-Eleven. It's not easy for us to just run here and run there. That we're away, we're back to nature, it's green, it's cooling, it's nice, it's comfortable. So it motivates us to go for walks. Because if we go to our retreat center, it's not necessary we go up there and do meditation. It's not necessary we enter a retreat. We can just go up to our Kichara retreat center, stay there a weekend, and walk in the forest. Walk around our Zambala pillar. Walk around the Tara forest. Walk around Manjushri's path. And just be there and relax. How nice it is. And then we can join the prayer sessions or we can stay there long term to do real retreats. Because I plan on hoping to build hostels where people can have rooms there and they can stay there to do long-term retreats. How nice. So that's different. Why? In the center, we don't have that because in the center, the property is very expensive. It's in a city. It's very big. I'm sorry. It's too small to make something very big. And it's very restricted, and there's a lot of rules and regulations. But if a retreat center, wow. Where we have land, we build as we want, we do as we want, we make all the noise we want. We do what we want within, of course, the law. So a retreat center is someplace we go off for a longer period and someplace we go off to retreat. A Dharma center is where is the gateway to practice. It is the gateway in the city for people to enter and go for deeper practice to the retreat center. So there's a differentiation there. So we need to have a retreat center very, very badly, not too far, that it fulfills all of our hopes in that way. And that's a difference, all right? And that's a difference for many people. Because some people say, hey, you're going to have a center, retreat center, they don't know the difference. Center and retreat center. Number six. The next one is in Dharma centers. We talked about the phenomenon of Dharma centers, why they appeared. We talked about the responsibilities and duties of a committee and how they can inspire subcommittees and other committees. We've already talked about that earlier and quite extensively. It's very important. We talked about volunteers, how to get volunteers, how to keep volunteers, and volunteering, inspiring volunteers. We talked about that. Then we talked about location of the center, the building, and then we talked about the difference between the center and the retreat center. Now the next subject, number six, is unhappy students, how to handle them, new students, and students who feel disgruntled or people who feel disgruntled, and all that. So we need to talk about that. A Dharma center is a place where people interact and join. A Dharma center is not a place filled with bodhisattvas and buddhas and enlightened beings. It should be that, but it's not that. But as I said earlier, why lament and be sad when you go to a hospital and everybody's sick? Like we go to a Dharma center, of course there are going to be people who are not well. So therefore, we go to a Dharma center with an expectation, we go there, that the committee is perfect. The subcommittees are perfect. The assistants are perfect. The practitioners are perfect. The students are perfect. And everybody is perfect, but I don't need to be perfect. When I walk into the center, I'm new and I'm innocent and I'm looking for a spiritual path. And I don't need to be perfect, but everybody else needs to be perfect. That is totally wrong, unfounded, illogical view. Why? Where in this world have we seen or encountered or have relations with that everything has been perfect? With respect to everybody, not even our own families are perfect. Not even our own families are perfect. Even ourselves, which we are in full control of, our body and our mind, we are not perfect. So since we are not perfect, even our own family is not perfect, and our businesses and the people we deal with not perfect, to go to a Dharma center and expect perfection is illogical. What we should expect from a Dharma center is first to see if we have affinity with the place. Affinity could be upon first sight and first feeling. It could be on gradually listening to what's happening and looking at the activities and feeling a closeness. But more important is the people in the Dharma center, the elected officials, actually take a special responsibility to set up committees, to set up a buddy system where they take care of new people that come in. New people who come in have a lot of questions. And their questions may seem silly to you or ridiculous or small, but that's how we started out. We asked a lot of ridiculous, silly questions, whether they were verbal or mental. So if these people come in, if we just let them float around, then how? If we go into a shop somewhere, and there's no shop assistance, there's no help, and no one is there, how do we feel about that shop? Do we feel like shopping? Do we feel like buying anything? No. A lot of times when we buy something, two reasons. Desperate need, so we just go and buy and get out. That's me. Or the salesperson is very convincing and very nice and we feel guilty, we buy something. So same thing. So if we go to a shopping complex and we have good salespeople, we're going to buy things. If those people can care less, they sit there and they just smoke a ciggy bud, they listen to the DVD, or they're watching TV, or they're asleep in a corner, why would you want to buy anything? And if you come across a salesperson that when you ask them small, simple things, they say, I don't know. Why would you want to buy? Because you're afraid to buy the product. You don't want to spend your hard-earned money on something that you're not sure about. So like that, when we enter a Dharma center, if you come across a committee or you come across a subcommittee or a group that actually takes care of new people, not order them, not force them, but to guide them, to answer their questions, and even to set up a system, as I mentioned before, a buddy system where each of the members take on 3 to 5 to 6 or more new people and nurture them and guide them. How? Explain what Ganden is. If you know what Ganden is, get a video and play it for them and sit with them and explain what you know. You see, your sincerity in explaining to them will override how much you don't know. Your time and love in showing them something will override your lack of knowledge. Human love is what they're looking for, and feeling and social contact. So therefore, let them know about your lama. Who's your lama? Where he comes from? What's he doing here? How long? Information about your lama. If you don't know about your lama, then it's getting a little difficult, isn't it? Let him know about your center, about the history. What's your purpose? Let him know about past events. Go on our website. Click on our website. It has a huge volume of information. Click on it and talk to them a little bit. You all have laptops. Sit at Starbucks with one of your newbies and click on the website and say, hey, let's talk about that. Let me explain things about that to you. And then talk for 1-2 hours. And then next time, something else. After a while, they feel your love and sincerity. Then they say, that's what Kichara House is about. This person taking the time and giving me so much care and love, that's what Kichara House is about. I'm interested. Because to them, all the statues look the same. All the Dharma centers look the same. Bubu Ling, Gaga Ling, Gigi Ling, Uu Ling, Gaga Ling, Kichara Ling, whatever la. And all the lamas, His Eminence, His Holiness, Her Holiness, His Everything, Her Everything, Everything la. What's the difference? And this lama had 30 incarnations. He's the 4th incarnation. He's this incarnation, the emanation of this. He's that emanation, his previous life with this. He created this. He wrote this. He can fly. Whatever. But we should truly believe that how the Dharma community is represents the Dharma teachings. How the Dharma community is represents the Dharma teachings. That reflects back to the Buddha. So that means if we are kind and we take the time to share and to love and to show and to explain, it helps us to learn. It helps them to understand the principle of Dharma, which is compassion and care. And hence I ask people to work in the outlets, because when you work in the outlets, like Mr. Ngao has already worked there, Maple has already worked there, and I'll volunteer once a month. Everybody can do it once a month. If we do it once a month in this room, we covered it already. Why? Because if we put outlet people there, I'm sorry, if we put salespeople there, they're salespeople, most of them just want to earn a buck and then that's it. But if we put our own people there once a month, when the people come in, they will direct them to Kichara House. They will talk to them more about Dharma. They promote the teachings. So everybody here, imagine if Robert was in the outlet once a month, the impact. If anybody come ask anything, I'm just a volunteer. The impact would be there because the way he speaks would be different than a salesperson. Similarly, people who come to the center will be the same situation. People who come to the center, if they come across a buddy system, and everybody knows, don't leave it just to May, May, because May is maybe, right? All of us are maybe, we're not sure. May might add an extra syllable on her name, maybe. So how? Refer to maybe, and that's very nice. I have a question, see maybe. Then she goes, and then maybe says maybe. How? So you think about that, but we need to take responsibility. We don't think, oh, May's working there, she's got a salary, blah, blah, blah. No, because it's our center. It's not May's center, it's our center. It's her center, it's ours, ours, ours. Ours. So instead of thinking about the differences we have in the center, we should think about the similarities. We all love our center. We've gone this far. We spent so much money and energy into our center, and look, it's our place. As freaky and weird and strange looking and leftover that we are from all the other centers, we still have a beautiful center. And I don't want to, okay. I want to be a little, I don't want to be biased here, but it's going to sound like, I think we have the most beautiful center. I do, because I've seen some other centers on the website. I think we have the most beautiful center. And we're blessed. We're blessed by our hard work. We're blessed to have a center. We're blessed to have sponsors that help us with a center. We're very lucky. Very lucky. Very fundamental things that we need to, other centers need to fight for. We don't need to. Very fundamental things, fundraising, all that stuff, you know, to really take care of this. We don't have to. We're quite all right. And so we need to have that. We need to handle. And if we handle the new people coming in the beginning well, I guarantee you, disgruntled and unhappy students will be much, much less. And wouldn't it be a better way to share our time? I mean, anyway, we go out with our friends and joke, hee-hee-ha, and talk about nothing. And do nothing much, no offense. So why don't we take a newbie out, new friend out, whatever, and introduce them to Dharma and talk to them. Like I said, if you don't know what to talk about, you don't know much, you can go on the website. If you go on our website, KH website, Kachara House, and you open up, there's a lot of information there, and all that information you guys will know. Because you were there, you were involved directly or indirectly. So you can talk about that. That's very interesting. Start from the fundamentals. Click on that, on the birthday party. Talk about the birthday party, who showed up, what they're doing, what rituals we do. People, they'll find that interesting. They'll find it very interesting. Why not? So that's very important to have a buddy system. That's why the Kachara House Extension Committee, the VPC Committee, and the committee, these three should form something like that. That is very unique and very important. Why? That will be just as important as raising money. That will be just as important. And at this juncture, almost more important. If we plan to go out to MPH, we plan to have outlets and advertise. We're going into newspapers. We have people like all types of people writing newspaper for us, like Jamie and all that, etc. If we plan to go out in newspaper, we're getting well known. Every person coming to the center, we can't just keep advertising when they come there. There's nobody there but cockroaches, and maybe. Think about it. So it's becoming very crucial that we do this. So instead of sitting in meetings thinking, oh my God, you know, how do we raise $500,000 to help Rinpoche recover from his loan so he doesn't drop dead and we can extend his life so he can turn the wheel of Dharma for all sentient beings? Oh God, I lost my breath. How about if we do something very useful and practical that it's all within our power? How about every person in KHEC and VPC take on 3 new members that come in? And they get their phone numbers, they exchange, and they talk, and they share, and they exchange. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Something very practical. Of course, if you've never seen big, scary Justin or big, scary Robert come along, you don't give him Shin's phone number. Shin's like, hello? And then they type all kinds of strange messages to her all night. What are you wearing? Send. Can you imagine Justin saying, what are you wearing? I'm wearing my Dharma Tsongkhapa shirt from KP. What color is it? It's black. Is it tight? No. It's cotton and it's got Tsongkhapa's mantra, Mink Metewe, sent on it. I mean, little girls like Shin, we don't give him big, scary monster phone numbers here, you know. I mean, we with some discretion. And then we have Andy walking in there, you know. And after he finishes talking, you took a nap and came back. You don't pass him Lee Ho's number because after that, Andy's going to be back to Switzerland. Lee Ho's a dingbat. That's right. She'll be SMS the whole night. Hey, should I buy my Dada statue bigger one or not? Send. I mean, think we've got to be practical. You know? And Margaret walks in there, all gussied up, or Angel, if you guys seen her gussied up. Oh my gosh, she looks like a Chinese lady of special resources. So you see Angel, or you see what's his name? Margaret walking in, and they're all there, all gussied up. You know, you don't pass their phone number to Koki. Please help the new student, and they're like, yes, help me. Because Pearlie's going to look for you. What's with this buddy system? My husband and them are becoming really good buddies. Real good buddies. That's right. And then look, think of this. And then Mr. Ngao walks into the center brand new. You know, he was at some other center and they had a tsunami. It's gone, so he's kind of looking for a new center. And he walks in and you introduce him to Bill Keith, and they SMS, and then he's like, he SMSs Bill at night, what are you wearing? Let's not go any further with that. And Mrs. Ngao is going to be very upset because she's thinking, why didn't he ever ask me what I'm wearing? What color? And Bill goes, duh, white. Not possible. Not possible. So you think about that. So we need to set up a buddy system, and we need to help. We need to nurture these. It's nurture these new people come. There are more and more coming in because the outlets are sending people to KH. And don't think, oh, well, May's there, and maybe he's going to take care of it, maybe. Maybe you should have a list of who is on the list, who's next to contact, who's next to contact. So let's say there's a list of 10 people, and the last person that walked in maybe referred it to A. So this time maybe refers it to B, and then C and D, and then goes around again. And they talk and they connect. And then B lets everybody else on the list know who came in, what's going on, so they can introduce. And then when they bring him to the Dharma talk, when they come to the Dharma teachings, it's like one of those AA meetings, you know, your sponsor, the person that sponsors you, they walk in and introduce you to the center and meet a few friends. So let's say Adrian is very new, and his sponsor is JP. JP brings him to the center because he's a little nervous. What's these people? And then we walk in, see Wendy. She's always in the front crying. The Buddha is great. He's going, what is this? What? Getting beaten up. Then he skips over. Then he goes over to Ben, sitting there picking his nose. And then he walks over. The lights go out temporarily. The lights come back on, and he bumps into the back of Justin's head. Oh, what? Ouch. And then he walks a little further. And he goes over to Sharon. Sharon's too busy doing her transcript for the sake of all sentient beings. So I'm ignored. And he goes to Susan. Susan doesn't say anything. Susan just looks at you. She's got a tattoo and she's holding a Heineken. Testosterone's at work. I mean, what's the point? So if JP sponsored Adrian comes in, introduces, hey, hi, this is Irene. Irene's been here for about 10, 15 years, and she's a senior. Oh, this is Susan. This is Suzanne. This is Ashley. How are you? You know, and become friends. And the next time they go in, hello, how are you? Hello, how are you? It's very nice. Then people feel warm because when they come to the Dharma Center, they won't feel the power of Tsongkhapa. They won't feel the lovely, motherly energy of Dara. And when they see Setrap, they're out of that door. They're not going to feel that. What they're going to feel is your compassion and your love and your energy and your effort towards them. And then when they feel that, then they know the teachings are good and KH is good. It's very simple. None of us want to ignore everybody because everybody, when people come in, they're shy. They feel they don't know anything. Yeah, you don't know anything, but they know less than you. So you can be a big shot. Hi. Borrow Rimichi's pandit's hat, wear it, and say hi. Welcome to Kichara House. I'm a senior member and I've been here for 3 months. And I can talk to you about why Tsongkhapa wears a yellow hat. You know, I mean, why not? They'll definitely know less than you. And what you don't know, find out. Introduce them to other Dharma brothers and sisters and get closer. It's fun. It's fun to meet new people and it's fun to see them grow. It's fun to listen to their questions. It's fun to help them. It's fun to see why they're here. It's fun to solve their problem. It's fun. Why? Because when they come up to you a couple of months later, a couple of weeks later, and they say, and they look in your eyes and say, thank you. You have gotten the biggest reward that nothing can ever repay you back more than that. And that's what we should do. So I know that the KHEC and VPC, all of you are new. All of you don't know what's going on. Some of you have been thrown into positions. You don't know what to do. You sit there and you talk, blah, 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 blah. It's nice. You all took a picture on the first meetings, all auspicious. After that, you want to kill each other. Yeah, because you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing, and I know that. But I have confidence you guys have pulled through. And I'm giving you directions now to start on that. And this coming weekend, you guys are having a Nyonya lunch, right? Maybe you earn $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. Hey, do it. Earn it. That gives you confidence. So if you earn $3,000 towards our $500,000 loan, we have to just make another $497,000. Thank you. But look, the experience you get will be very precious for that when we come across big sponsorship or sponsors of people, we know how to talk, we know what to do. How do we start? What, I just throw you together with Dato, Dan Street, this, and talk, raise the funds. You'll be like, well, Dato, you don't know what to say. Start small. Don't be upset. Be forgiving of each other. Inspire each other. Don't wait for one person to inspire you. Don't wait for this person, that person. Everybody inspire each other. Who can inspire anybody? We're all new. Try hard. Push each other. Push each other in a positive way and make it grow. And when you have arguments, before you leave, shake hands and say sorry. We're humans. If you have disagreements, if someone says something that offends someone, don't hold it. And then you mix them up. Maybe they drop their dream. Come on. And then you go home, you meditate on Tsongkhapa and the yellow light. Oh, I hate that. What yellow light? There's no light. There's no Tsongkhapa. Why? Tsongkhapa is love. Forgive and let go. Don't go to bed holding some anger. Before you go to bed, send the SMS. You think, but why do I always have to say a sorry or a start or begin or talk? Because you're compassionate. Because you want compassion. That's why. It's not a matter of winning or losing. It's a matter of letting the other person win. Doesn't matter. So we start with little din-dins and little lunch, and we get together. But most important the committee should do is take care of new people. Very important. Set up a real system. Don't just say, oh, we want to set up a new person, and we have this system. Do it. Whatever you decide in the meeting, have integrity and do what you have said in the meeting. And don't graciously grace the meeting and then say, I don't want to make any commitments that I might break and try to look good about that, but actually you have fear, no self-confidence. How do you get confidence? By pushing yourself and doing something, accomplishing something small. That's it. It's very simple. So one should do it. Take care of the new people. That's very, very important. If we do that, we set up this buddy system. It will be very, very powerful. The senior members, try to lead them to do the bigger work. Why? You'll get to that stage because we will grow and grow and grow and get bigger and bigger. We will. We will. In this room, it's just a small handful of us if we don't call everybody who want to come. We will. And we're filled with professional people. In all our lives, most of us in our lives, we have a job, we can work, we support ourselves and take care of ourselves. We can do it. Why not in this? Do not take this as a volunteer job. Happen, it happened, don't happen, never mind. Don't take it like that. This is more important than your normal job. This will support and create the merits for your normal job to be successful. That's truth be told. Truth be told. So therefore, that's very, very important. And you should set up a committee who has some unhappy students, unhappy people. You gauge the person. If this person has been unhappy for the last 10 years and they've been complaining about the center for the last 10 years, never mind, they're happy being unhappy. What to do? But if they're a new person and they're unhappy about someone, what someone said, or something happened, or they don't understand, or there's miscommunication, call them. Talk to them. Ask them what's going on. Give them some dharma. Give them something to read. Send a nice email. Let their anger calm down. Why? Because you care. Simple. Simple. In every Dharma center, as I read in another book, and I gave you some copies yesterday, in every Dharma teachers organization, everywhere, you have students who are disgruntled for wrong and right reasons. The right reasons we can straighten out because they're disgruntled because they want a solution. But there are some people who just don't want a solution. They don't want a solution. They just don't want a solution. And I'm so sorry because there are some students who come, and I'm very sorry. Like I said, I have to say this, and I'm not happy to say it, but it's the truth. Some students come because they want to take advantage of the situation. They see the place full of people. Maybe they want to make business. That's happened before. So if they join the center, perhaps they can sell something. They can get something going. They can get some financial profit. They can connect with some people. They can get something going. And the people that they connect with, they don't know that. Because when we go to the center, we automatically assume people are after something spiritual. Spiritual help. But there are some people out there who are dubious and devious. They are. They're all types of people. At this point in their lives, they might change later, that they come to the Dharma Center for financial gain, for business, or some kind of ego trip, or to show off, or to challenge. They do come for that. I've seen it in America, I've seen it here, and I've taught in many Dharma centers in this country, many. And I've talked to many, many people. I've even talked to people who were disgruntled with their traveling Rinpoche, that the Rinpoche traveled here for 1 or 2 months, and they tried to say things to me and tried to get me to do divinations that would be incriminating for their Lama, so that they can go back to their centers, go back to the committee and say, oh, I want to do divination in Tenma Rinpoche, and he said this, 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 and this. They tried. I have many experiences of that. But I'm alert to that. Oh, yes. So there are people who come to the center, they don't want to join in the talk. They don't want to join in the classes. They don't want to volunteer for any of the activities, not even one or two, any. They don't want to support the center financially in any way, even 10 ringgit a month. They bring no new people to the center to help new people. They bring no new people to the center. They financially not help the center at all. That's not an obligation. I'm just saying there are many ways to help. They don't even offer what they know to the Dharma Center. They don't offer their time. They don't offer their energy. They don't offer their help. And they're perpetually busy. They're perpetually working. They perpetually have something going on. They perpetually have appointments. Perpetually. And it goes on for days and months and years. And it just goes on and on. Yet, they want to connect with the Dharma students. They want their phone numbers. They want their contacts. And they contact and talk to them and communicate nonstop. That's happened many times, a few times before. And they communicate. But when you ask them, why don't you join in? Why don't you come in? They have very eloquent answers. Yet they never show up. For all the time and energy they spent in communication, if they show up, the center would be much better. But they don't. They perpetually don't. And on top of that, I've heard of cases in the past, and I'm sorry. I really am sorry. But I need to make everybody aware for the future. They even ask money and loans from members of the center. They don't get involved with the center at all. They don't help the center at all. They don't do anything with the center at all. Sometimes they don't even want to see me or avoid, but they will actually ask for monetary help and money. That has come to my attention many times. And that hurts me very badly because it hurts them. Why does it hurt them? We have a great opportunity at hand. We have used people in business. We have used people in relationship. We have used people in our dealings and social situations, work situations, monetary situations, relationship situations. We have used people. Must we also use people in the center? And in the center, people are more vulnerable. Do you know why they're more vulnerable? Because people, no matter how much I talk about this, people who come to the center still have an open mind thinking that people there are very nice, and they are. And people in the center let their guard down even more than other people. They do. When they come to the center, they let their guard down because they automatically assume, oh, you're praying, you're chanting, you're meditating, you've taken refuge, you went to Ganden, you have a guru, you pray to Lama Tsongkhapa, so you must be good. You must be good. So they automatically let their guard down. People let their guard down because they're in the Dharma Center. And there are some people that take advantage. And I'm talking about in the 25 years I've experienced this. I've seen it a few times. I've even seen people in the past, some ladies, I won't mention any names in the past, who always tries to get involved with the center and sell things to the members. Always. And even they'll come to the center and they'll talk negative things about the center and negative things about the Lama, me in this case, and promote their Lama, promote their center. Incredible. Incredible. I was shocked. I mean, I'm evil, but I've got my limits. Really, I have my limits. My evil is not premeditated. It's more habitual for many lifetimes. Yeah. But it's not like, how am I going to get them? I dare not. I'll tell you why I dare not. I got enough problems. I don't need to create more for myself. So there are people like that who actually talk very nice. And they sound very nice. But they don't practice anything that they talk. They don't practice anything that they know. And yet they want to have connections to the center. They want to keep a link there. And I thought, why? Why? Must be some kind of monetary benefit or some kind of net to fall back into if anything goes wrong. And the lamas advise them, their gurus advise them, they don't listen. The senior Dharma students advise them. They don't listen. So who do they go to? They avoid the seniors. They avoid the lamas. They only go to the juniors and the newbies. Why? The newbies don't know anything. They don't know anything. So they can say what they want, influence. And I've experienced this before where they get close to the newbies or new people. And then when they're in a very bad mood, they start saying very negative things to the newbies. And the newbies have doubt. And it takes another senior Dharma student to talk to them. And that's very bad. Why is that very bad? You contribute nothing to the center. You've belonged to the center so long. You give nothing. You do nothing. And you always say you don't have time. Or you always say that you're busy and you're working or what not. But you have no signs of that. But you do so much damage indirectly. Why? In the tantric commitments, right now, most of us in here, 90% of us don't need to worry about that. But when we advance in the tantric commitments, such as Vajugini, Guhya Samaja, Kala Chakra, or any of those, one of the auxiliary tantric vows is, those who disparage our Lama and our Guru, we are not allowed to associate with them. Do you know why? They can spoil our practice and make our practice go backwards, unless we're very strong. It's not to disparage them. And also, when we're new and we come under the influence of people who's always saying negative things or always giving, or even they don't say negative things, they show a bad example. They always show a bad example to us. It brings our energy down. It really brings our energy down. So that's very, very dangerous. Why is that? Because our center needs to grow. Our people needs to grow. And am I making a bias that if you don't follow the rules, you don't do? No, it's not that. In everything we do in life, there are rules. And we need to abide by some rules. I mean, our center has rules, and the rules have come together by consensus, by experience, by many years of being together, and that we found that these rules are beneficial. And they're changeable in the future for better rules. But at this time, we have these rules. And if we all don't follow, and you make yourself always above the law, why do you need a guru anywhere? And if you choose a guru that doesn't give you anything or do any practice, you just chant a little bit and goes off, do you really want a guru, or you want to pretend you're going through spiritual acting? So we have rules in our center, and our center are light. And if we all follow it, our center will grow. If Malaysia didn't follow the law of the land, how will we have peace in this country? We have to follow. And there are laws that we don't like, but there are many laws that we like because it protects us. And we must follow. I must follow. We must follow. So there's order. Therefore, in the Dharma Center, even more so, we have spiritual laws, spiritual rules that we should follow. And if we don't follow, it can only bring harm to others and ourselves.